Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it.
Hello, everybody. We are ready to talk today about ancient healing music and how to use it to quiet self-criticism. According to Eliana, three critically useful ways to quiet your self-criticism will be displayed today, and these are meant specially for conscious heart center professionals. In this inspiring and practical interview, you'll discover how you can quiet your inner critic by standing in your power with confidence, gaining clarity on your next steps, and remaining calm inside no matter what. Endorse TEDx presenter Eliana Gillette, founder of Voices of Eden, teaches you how to own your feminine voice as a leader. Eliana is dedicated to help overly stressed, successful, heart-based professional women reawaken the power of their authentic voice through sacred feminine sound, healing programs online, immersions, live retreats to ancient Israel, and keynote presentations. Since 1994, Eliana Gillette has worked with thousands of healthcare professionals, coaches, yoga teachers, spiritual healers, and peace leaders to help them revive the ancient healing music practices of the biblical prophetess Miriam through the creation of Voices of Eden music. The music was medically researched for 3 years at Mayor Hospital Neonatal Ward and found to lower blood pressure, heart rate, increase focus, and quality of sleep amongst the neonates, their parents, and the medical staff. Gillette has presented with Dr. Masaru Emoto from Messages from Water, who has also researched her music and has been invited to present before the United Nations 3 times. Help me welcome Eliana. Hello.
Hello there, Luciana. It's so, so great to be here.
Hello, Eliana. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's really an honor to have you here with us.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise, it's an honor
to
be here.
So for our listeners, thank you. So for the listeners who might be listening for you for the first time through our show, can you please tell us about you and the benefits of your work?
Well, what about me? Do you want to know?
Maybe you could give them a brief description about your relationship with music and how is it that you started being interested in ancient music. I guess this is something that took you to Israel. Can you maybe tell them a little bit about you, your story, and the benefits of your work?
Sure. That's an obvious question that one asks in an interview, and yet it's very profound right now, and it's intentional that I asked you what specifically, because I was born and raised in Los Angeles, in California, in the United States, and that is where I am speaking to you from today. So it's a real full circle because I have not lived in the United States for the last 25 years, and let's say that as a young child, I knew that I had a special role in life. I said, when I'm older, I'm going to live all around the world. I'm going to have friends all around the world, and I'm going to go visit them. And I grew up here in Los Angeles where that wasn't, in a family where that didn't make sense. So it went underground as a went underground, and it took me till I was were in the late 80s working in corporate America, and there was the recession, and my job was made redundant, and I had already been on a spiritual path for many years at that point, and I decided that I would jump off into the unknown, because all of those years, ever since I was a little girl, I knew that I had a special role, and that we all do, and that part of the game of life is to discover what that is, what is our true gift, what's our true voice, and to express that in the world. And so at that point, I left the United States for France, and amongst other things in France, I had no idea where I was going. I was terrified, but there was an inner voice inside of me, and maybe, you know, listeners can identify with this. There was a voice inside of me that was calling, and I had no words for it, but I dared to follow it. And that took me to France. That took me to, amongst other things, to be a broadcaster for CBS Television. And in the 1992, I broadcast the Olympics from France to the 60 million viewers in the United States, though I had already thrown away my television set in the late 80s. The reason I'm telling you
this... That's an
amazing
use of your voice.
Yeah, and I'm telling you this because you asked, how did you... That's why I asked... What specifically? Because I could go on and on and on, and I want to be to point. And being full circle here in Los Angeles is that while I worked for the Olympics, I prayed to use... Well, I sat next to the gentleman who read the wire services. Now, 1992, this is before the days of internet, remember. And he would say, listen, listen, you won't believe what happened. And afterwards, I dared to say, you know what? I actually do know what's in there. And he looks at me like I'm from the moon. He said, what? I said, it's always the same thing. War, rape, pillage, you know, fire. Good news is a ceasefire. And it's the same story all over the world. And just the names change. He goes, that's not true. Let's look. I said, okay. And we looked. And this, you know, Reuters, UPI, it was exactly that. And he said, I swear I'm going to find you your good news story. And I said, because I'm here, because I threw away my time. What I didn't say was I dared to tell him that I didn't own a television, that I had thrown it away. And that the reason why I agreed to work for CBS for the Olympics was because it was a good news story. Even though that I don't watch television anymore. And that was like heresy, and I was terrified. I'm going to be like burned on the cross. There I am at the Olympics. But he said, I swear I'm going to find you your good news story. And he, of course, he never did. And during those Olympics, I prayed to use my voice for a higher power. And Voices of Eden today is the result. I mean, fast forward, that was in France. I moved to Israel in 1994. This is after a long trajectory of, you know, then listening to my inner guidance, which then took me from CBS to sing in the inner city trains of France. Not because I had to, because I was really listening to that inner guidance to know, like, what's my next step? What am I supposed to be doing in this world? Because since I was 5 years old, I knew that there was something, but I hadn't discovered what it was. And I decided at New Year's that, you know, my resolution was to just live according to inner guidance. And if the bell rang inside, I, you know, in terms of living in the world, my mother would always say, honey, 2 + 2 = 4. Like, how are you going to earn a living? How are you? You know, if I'm doing what's right and I'm really listening and the universe responds, you know, like law of attraction, you know, what, you know, as man does, then the universe responds. Well, then I'm walking my walk and I should be provided for. And I decided that I wouldn't live anymore or work anymore just for a living. And I said no enough times to the work that I had run out of money. And I, in fact, I didn't eat for 2 days. And I thought, if I'm full of caca, I'll go back to the States, go back to, you know, my yuppie jobs and not ask any more questions. But if what I believe, what I'm hearing inside that I don't have a word for, if that's so, well, then there'll be a response. And I had a monthly Metro Pass, and I heard about this spiritual support group for creativity, I'll go there. From the Metro to the meeting place, I remembered that everybody was supposed to bring something to share, like creatively, with this group, but I didn't have anything. But I remembered this Hebrew spiritual from my youth group day in Los Angeles. Not if I have to share something, I'll sing that, but no way. I'll sit in the corner. And I get to this room and they're sitting in a big circle, so I couldn't hide in the corner. And I sat at the last person praying that the time would go out before my turn. But my turn came and I sang this Hebrew spiritual, and there was silence in the room. And afterwards, I shared what I was going through, that I was on this do-or-die mission. I hadn't eaten in 2 days, and if there's a higher power, well, then answer me. And if not, then fine, and, I'll just go back to L.A. And this guy comes up to me with this finger in my face. He goes, "Your voice speaks, and you have work to do with your voice." And he puts his hand in his jeans pocket, and he takes out this crumpled piece of paper, and on it he writes 2 train stations in Paris. And he goes, "Tomorrow morning, you go to this first train station, the Ferrochaux, and you sing that song because the people on the train need it." And I'm like, the man is like pseudified.
That's
loony.
Beautiful.
I'm not going to, just no way, no way. Only the bell rang inside, and I went home that night not knowing if I'd have the courage to do it. But I woke up the next morning, walked to the train station, and got on the train, sang the song, and, the silence at the end, they're waiting for me to busk, to ask for money. I said, "So help me God, either answer me now. If you really exist, answer me now. I'll die on the spot. The choice is yours." And, I said to the people there, "I'm not asking you for money. And if I am asking you for anything today, it's that you do something kind for yourself, because your voice really makes a difference. And if somebody on this train actually will do that, then I've given big time." And I find myself walking up and down the aisle, looking everybody in the eye, which is like really not acceptable in France. Everybody keeps to themselves. And they're like, I had no pockets. I'd brought no purse. I had no hat. And they like pushed money in my hands. And I walked out of there like, for the first time in my life, I knew I made a difference. It's the same way that I broadcast the voiceovers, to the 60 million in the States, but that's a very sexy story. It's, that sounds impressive, but singing on that train answered that inner voice. And after a week, I was offered a very nice corporate position that would have paid me very, very well. But I would have to give up the singing on the trains, and I turned down the corporate job because I realized I found my calling, which is through the sound to provide for space for people to stop and connect to their inner guidance, to listen to their voice. Because if we'll only stop long enough and listen, and then hear what our voice is saying, and then trust its guidance and have the courage to hear it and the confidence to act upon it, it'll take us to great places. And that's what I did for a year. And it healed me of my fear of public speaking. It healed me of the shame of having, as a child, you know, I would speak my truth, but I would have soap put down my mouth, you know, like, God forbid. And why I said at the beginning that this is full circle is I'm recording this from my mother's home. The last time we were in, I remember exactly the last time we had our interview was in my home in Galilee. And it's just an astounding trajectory all of these years. And today I'm actually living with my mother in Los Angeles and picking the fruits of 25 years of conscious work, so that, you know, those years of having soap put down my mouth, that was just so painful for me, to not be seen, to not be heard, to be shut up. And today that I can live with my mother, I'm 59 years old, and living with my 86-year-old mother in peace and in harmony, is, it's so huge. It's the first time I'm saying this publicly, actually, in media. I've been afraid to say that, and I've decided to come public with it because that's an effect of expressing your authentic voice. Why wouldn't I say that? Because here in L.A., if you say you're living with your parents, it's like the loser. Oh, you should be. That's like hooey booey. That's consensus thinking. But the fact is, even though it's not popular, I so respect myself. It's through using, it's by walking this walk and listening inside and using these tools that, you know, I continue to use. Very simply, it connects me to my center, to my sanity, to my serenity, to my self-esteem. And then when we have that, then we can truly be of service to others. When I left here in 1990, I did it very consciously. I said, well, I could see, you know, that in another 20, 25 years that the world was kind of falling apart at the seams, and I'd make my changes when I didn't have to, such that when, you know, when everything would fall apart, I'd be on the other side and I'd be able to come back and be able to help. And that's where I find myself today, able to help with my family, with my mother following the death of my stepfather. I'm able to come back to the place where I ran from for so many years and be present and be in my power and have my voice and be able to help others who are in the midst of change, who are wondering what's next, who know inside, you know, when you know, you know, but you don't have a word for it, that you're not nuts. And especially for those of you who may feel like square pegs and round holes, that you're really conscious, and maybe the people around you aren't. Or maybe when you dare to speak your truth or a plan for it, you know, like what comes out of your mouth and what you planned are like night and day, because it's just so scary and so vulnerable, because those around you get so stirred up and that maybe it's not, maybe it doesn't feel safe. Well, I want you to know that your vulnerability is not your weakness, it's your strength. Only that comes from feminine power, and none of us has grown up in that. Maybe there are a few people still in this world, you know, if you're in a tribe, some, you know, in a few places in the world, but not many. Mm-hmm. We are living in a very, very masculine dominated. I don't mean male and female. I don't mean man, woman. I mean cognitive, intellectual, where there's a right and a wrong, where, you know, it's linear. You do A, B, C, and it gets you to D. But that's not where we're living today. That's a dinosaur way. So that is falling apart, and there's a whole new reality that's coming, and that feminine power is coming back. And when you listen to your authentic voice and you find your authentic voice, there are many different layers of reality that exist at the same time that allow for you to put the pieces of your puzzle back together. And it's so joyful, such that you can then give enjoy your gifts, express your gifts, and have people asking you for more, because your voice really makes a difference. You've got something that nobody else has, and we need to hear it. We need to receive it today.
And all of this takes us to our topic for the interview, self-criticism. Now, self-criticism involves how an individual evaluates his or herself. It's typically studied and discussed as a negative personality trait in which a person has a disrupted self-identity, whereas the opposite would be someone who has a coherent, comprehensive, generally positive self-identity. In your experience, how would you define self-criticism? How can one recognize this voice inside?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Luciana. Well, voice is so powerful, and you don't even need to hear it. Just like the scenario that I just described. Think you're going to work, and you have a you want to speak with your boss, you want to ask for more money, let's say. But you don't. Why? I don't deserve it. I'm going to get rejected. I'm going to get turned down. Those are all voices. Now, you're not hearing them outside like we're hearing my voice speaking right now, but boy, are you hearing it, because actually the essence of the sound is more potent than the physical sound that's being made. So those critical voices, they're not necessarily even yours. You know, they may have been voices that you heard growing up, and as children we take them in. We don't have discrimination in our first years, and this stuff just goes in, and then it's there, you know, it goes unconscious. And then when we go to take an action that is actually for our expansion, those things come up, and then they mean well, but, and they actually may have served you well for a while, but you know, we're adults now. And yes, you succeeded. But afterwards, after it served its function, then it needs to shift, and we're the ones who are the instruments to change that.
Criticism is the process of offering valid and well-reasoned opinions about the work of others, usually involving both positive and negative comments in a friendly manner rather than an oppositional one. So in your experience, would you say there's a constructive criticism? What makes criticism constructive? Is this a positive trait?
Well, what I'm referring to is so interesting, the word criticism, because even the fact that we're having this conversation, I mean, what would you say? How would you respond, Luciana?
Well, the idea is for our listeners to understand the concepts according to your perspective. So that's why I was wondering if you could help us understand this term here, because, you know, many people talk about self-criticism, and some others say, yes, well, but this was a constructive criticism comment. So that's why I was wondering if you could help enlighten our listeners on this term.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it, and I'm consciously asking you what you think as well, because the whole idea of criticism and why we are so sensitive to it is it's also based on this whole idea of that there is an authority and a follower, right? Even constructive. Right? That there's some outside something who's defining what the truth is. Bullshit. Excuse my French. But that's not true. What I say inside is true. For better or for worse. For better or for worse. There's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong. But what I will be telling myself inside is going to determine my reality. And it's going to determine how I feel. It's going to determine what actions I take. So that if I'm, let's say, if I'm saying, it's such a potent question that you ask. So let's say, for example, because it could go either way. If I'm saying inside, if I'm kind, if I'm connected to the source of my power, then when you have something to say to me, let's say I created something, let's say it's at work, okay, I'm just taking work again, because that would be. Let's say I'm getting reviewed. Let's say the same scenario with the boss, but they want to give me constructive criticism. If I'm confident in who I am, and I'm confident in what I have produced, and I'm in a place where I can hear you, then I'm going to be hearing what you say in a particular light. I'm going to be able to hear your feedback. I'm going to be able to hear if I know we're on the same page, if I'm feeling safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, so in that way, the criticism is going to be constructive. I go, oh, yeah, that's the way it could be better. What a great idea. What a great idea. Now, if it's dependent upon the relationship, where is the other person coming from? Where is their voice? Is it how clear are they? And we tend to want to place the focus on the other person outside of ourselves. That's how we've all been trained, that's bullshit. Excuse my French again.
So what about self-denial? Some people call it self-abnegation, self-sacrifice, because they believe in altruistic abstinence, the willingness to forego personal pleasures or undergo personal trials in the pursuit of the increased good of another. What could you tell our listeners about this response, self-denial?
I have so much. I could, not today, I'm proud to say, very happy to say, but we could have called me the poster child of abnegation. Did you see that film, The Da Vinci Code?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or read the book if any of you have. There's the figure, the hermit. You know, he's like whipping himself into enlightenment. And I would be that way. And I still really work with that. At times, It's a form of violence. It really is. That's, you know, when I act from that place, I'm really violating. Again, what I've learned for myself is that's there's a self-willfulness to it as well, that I'm trying to force myself through. The intention is very positive, but the outcome is negative because it's the focus on lack. And it's the focus on having to do something to be enough, when that's also hooey booey. That's a lie. I am enough. I am good. I don't have to do anything. That's, you know, again, it's that old, you know, our masculine way of being, that we need to do something. Now I'm speaking, where I'm speaking from is from a, I'm assuming that this audience is a conscious audience. So where I'm speaking from is a place of when you are very conscious and you know that reality is a function of your consciousness and a reflection of it. Am I making sense? Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, okay. You are. So what can you tell our listeners about self-awareness, as in being aware of who we are, in knowing our values, beliefs, personal preferences, tendency, and how does being different in the way we react to things can really be helpful to start thinking about ourselves in a positive way?
Yeah, that's where I really, that's where the role of this ancient sound healing modality is just so, so helpful. And I believe why it's coming back in these modern times is that it helps us to bypass our intellect, quiet that critical mind. And when we do that, then we connect to our higher mind, to that place of knowing, because it's beyond cognitive. So when we go beyond our cognitive mind, then we're in that place that we know, we know, we know. And at that point, the mind, the cognitive mind becomes subservient to the larger mind. And then we become the conductors, you know, of our orchestra. Now I see like these voices, you know, and self-criticism and self-acknowledgement and, you know, being at ease with yourself. It's like the harmony is actually made by having all of those parts. It's not about getting rid of the self-criticism, because those voices are there. And the self-abnegation, you know, the whipping it away or cutting it out, it just makes it stronger. Yet, you can use wordless sound to quiet your mind and connect to your larger sense of knowing, to connect to the source of your power, the source of the sound, which is actually silence, reconnecting to your center. And in that way, you know, like the conductor in the orchestra, there are dissonant voices there, because all of it together forms the harmony. Or like think about the harmony of a, you know, the sound of a babbling brook, how it brings such calm and such a sense of well-being, just to, you know, be at ease and at one and, harmonious. Yet the babbling brook, that harmonious sound is created by the flow of the water meeting up with the constriction, you know, beating against the rocks. There's constriction. there's conflict there. And yet there couldn't be the harmony without those two. You know, that is masculine principle. So everything's got a beautiful value to it. And when we accept all of who we are, well, then there we are. And it's good.
So some of our listeners practice meditation in a regular basis. So that's how they achieve their moments for silence. So in your experience, how can ancient healing music take us from self-criticism to self-awareness?
Well, before you go to sleep or when you wake up in the morning, you can avail yourself of wordless sound that connects you to the source of your power. And your meditation will be deeper. You'll be able to listen more because it quiets your mind. You can listen before you go into your meditation, and you can listen as meditation. In fact, that's a great opportunity. If anyone would like, you're welcome to go and download a free ancient healing music meditation kit that is on the website. And that is a piece of music that I just very, very recently, within the last month, composed and recorded in ancient Israel. And you're welcome to download it and use it yourself. It's at elianagilad.com, elianagilad.com/ healing music meditation, and there are dashes between each word. And I believe there's a link at the bottom of the podcast. Is that so?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, what you could do is you could listen to that, download that, and listen to it before going into your meditation, or listen to it during your meditation. In fact, there's a kit that comes along with it, and there are wonderful ideas of how to, many different ways of using the music for meditation and with your meditation, because there's no right or wrong way. Each one of us is discovering we're all pioneers in this area. But the benefit of incorporating this or listening to this is that it connects you to the source of your feminine power being that openness, that receptive place, that listening place, such that you can receive the answers to any question that you have 24/7. My God, it's better than better than searching Google. It doesn't cost any money.
So you're very generous for gifting our listeners with this kit. The link for the ancient music kit is in the description of this interview and also on the event on our Facebook page. So we unfortunately have reached the end of our interview, and we're so, so grateful for your participation here with us today. I was wondering if you have any last words to our listeners on this topic for today. How can ancient healing music help us quiet our self-criticism?
Your voice makes a difference, and it's good. And when you listen to the source of the sound, attune to it, take the time out, 1 minute, 2 minutes, you turn your whole day around. You turn your whole life around. because your voice makes a difference. And I would like to close with wishing that you'll do something kind for yourself today, because you truly deserve it.
Thank you very much, Liana, for being with us today. We hope that we can have you again soon, and on behalf of all our listeners, it's been an amazing experience. Thank you for the interview. Thanks for your time, and
thank
special
you
gratitude
so much,
also Lucina, for this generous gift of your ancient music kit for all of our listeners to use it on a daily basis. So thanks very much for being with us today.
You know, yeah, you can also come to the Facebook group Healing Voice. No, there's more music there on Facebook. Facebook.com/healingvoice.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Eliana. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.